I too want to extend a greeting to you this morning in Jesus' name. And also to you mothers. Happy Mother's Day. You know, that was a it's a holiday that we celebrate. And I think it's right that we do that because we are very, very thankful for you all, for what you do. I'm thankful for my own mother, and I'm very glad that she can be here this morning. And I'm very thankful for my wife, our children's mother. And I'm sure you're thankful for the mothers that are in your life. This morning I wasn't sure exactly where to start and where to stop with this, with the thoughts today. But the burden of the message, I guess, is to share some encouragement to you mothers. Or the thought there. And there's different stages of life. There's a fairly wide range of mothers here. We have future mothers. We have young mothers. We have some that whose children are maybe a little older. And I don't know where to put that, what class you would say. Then we have grandmas. That would be mothers a couple times over, maybe. And we have, yeah, we just have a wide range of mothers here. But all of you are leaving your mark on society. I don't know how you explain the influence that a mother has in the world. This isn't in my notes, but it's something that really fascinates me. If you think back in the Bible to the life of Hezekiah, you know, Hezekiah's dad was a real cactus. We'll just say it that way. He was probably the wickedest king up to that point in Judah. And he would kill his own children and sacrifice them. He was an idol worshiper. He went into the temple and just totally, yeah, made a mess of it. And yet his son was one of the best kings that Judah ever had, Hezekiah. And I would attribute that mostly to Hezekiah's mother. Her name was Abijah or Abby, depends which, if it's in Chronicles or Kings or whatever, but it's Abijah. And she was the daughter of a priest. But Hezekiah was about as opposite from Ahaz, his father, as he could be. And that turned a whole generation, and maybe future generations, because of a mother's influence. And today, you have an influence that you're leaving on future generations as well. So this morning, the question is, what is a mother? What is a mother? Well, I mean, you know the definition. You know in your head what a mother is. It's a female parent, right? We have fathers, which would be the male parents, and we have mothers, which are the female parents. But it's one who nurtures and cares for children. It's one who keeps the household running smoothly, sometimes. I mean, some mothers are tasked with keeping the household, and some don't have as many children or whatever. They're all tasked with keeping their households running smoothly, I guess. And the other thing a mother is she's a light of the home, or at least I think so. That's a mother. What is, and motherhood is just the practice of being a mother, the fine art of keeping the wheels turning in the family behind the scenes. And that's a big job. It's the often underappreciated, underrecognized work of being on call all the time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a mother's job is never done. You've heard that thought before. A mother's job is never done. It's also the fulfilling responsibility of caring for the children that God has given you, or given us. If you would, you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'm going to read about a mother there whose name was Hannah. And Hannah was not a mother at this time. She was a wife. And she had a great desire to be a mother. And her husband, Elkanah, or Elkanah, whatever, however you say that, Elkanah is how I'll say it, had two wives. And one of them, Peninnah, had several children. And Peninnah was a lady who taunted Hannah. She would mock Hannah. And Hannah didn't like it. Now, Hannah was the favorite wife. That was a real mess, but that's how that was. There, she was the favorite wife, and I don't think Peninnah liked that Hannah was the favorite wife, and so she mocked Hannah. But let's read 1 Samuel 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. She said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up early in the morning. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now go down to 1 Samuel 2, verse 11, in the next chapter there. So Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the Lord did minister and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So Samuel was there in the temple. Hannah made good on her promise, and she took him back to the temple. And Samuel was dedicated to the Lord, and he served the Lord there. But Eli the priest had two sons also. I don't know what their mother was like. It doesn't say anything about their mother. But in verse 12, we're going to get a glimpse of what Eli's sons were like, and then we'll come back to Samuel. It says, Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, No, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. So they were supposed to let the flesh boil in the pot. They were supposed to burn the fat first and let the flesh boil, and then they could go in, and whatever came out after it was soft, whatever came out, that was what the priest could have. Well, they changed it up a little bit and decided they'd get more if they didn't boil it first. If they just took it raw, then they'd get the whole thing. But they couldn't burn, the people couldn't burn the fat, which was their offering that the people would give. The priests were taking that away from them as also. So because of this, or wherefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel was different. Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. Verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So Hannah ended up having 6 children, I think, unless Samuel's counted in the 3 sons there. But either 5 or 6 children. But Hannah was someone who wanted to be a mother. And it was a natural thing. She wanted to be a mother. And she prayed in her very being and promised that if God would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord. Now, how do you think she treasured that time with Samuel? She had him there for however long it took for him to wean. So he was probably, I don't know how old he would have been. He wasn't very old. But she spent all her time with him. And gave him back to the Lord. And Samuel was a bright spot in the wicked temple, or among the wicked priests there that were at the temple. Samuel grew before the Lord. Samuel was a man, he was trained of his mother. He was prayed for by his mother. Samuel was loved. But you know, mothers, where would the world be without you? Where would the world be without you? What would life be like? Men, what would life be like if all the mothers disappeared, or children, everyone? Would not be good. You know, about 2 weeks ago, our family got the flu really, really bad, or we thought it was really, really bad. And you know, one thing that made it really bad was that we got, all of us were sick at the same time. Except one of the children. We were all sick at the same time, including Mom. Now, when Mom's sick and Dad's sick and the children are all sick at the same time, it's a miserable situation. I can tell you, it's not good, because you have to get up and take care of the children and you're not feeling good yourself. You're feeling really rotten. And of course, Dad, in our household, he's a little bit of a wimp, but he doesn't like to take care of stuff like that. But Mom doesn't either, actually. But we're both sick at the same time. And when Mom is not available, it's terrible. And that was just for one day. It was a miserable day, and we remember it, but it was just for one day. But you know, a mother's work is not compensated with money. I don't know if you went to hire a mother if you could even do it. I don't know how you would do it. How would you pay for everything that a mother does? How do you pay for that? But fulfillment, it's a fulfilling work. It's a very fulfilling work. And you don't do it for pay. And I praise the Lord that you don't do it for pay. You do it because it's fulfilling. But you know, fulfillment, the fulfillment that you as a mother get is directly related to your acceptance of it, and your commitment to it. There's a relationship there. And it works that way, not just in motherhood. It works that way in anything. If we accept the responsibility and put our heart into it, it can be fulfilling. But if we chafe at it and we don't like the situation, then we lose the blessing of fulfillment. So if motherhood were a job, what compensation would be required to make it worthwhile? You know, what would life be like if motherhood were a job? Men, so if our wives or our mothers were only moms from 8 o'clock in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon, just eight and a half hours, you know, they get a half hour or an hour for lunch. So that would their mothers from that point, but they get weekends off. Mothers, don't get too excited about this, but they get weekends off and holidays off. So Christmas, Thanksgiving, and even Mother's Day, they would get all those off, and 2 weeks of vacation every year, plus sick days, and also, they could give 2 weeks notice if they got tired of it and wanted to quit. How would we like a situation like that? I wouldn't like that at all. And I don't think they would either. But being a mother is a full-time job. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, even when sick and not feeling well. It's demanding and stressful sometimes, and extremely rewarding and fulfilling at other times. And for you mothers that have young children, there's constant babysitting, there's interruptions, there's squabbles to settle, maybe older children too, I'm not sure, but squabbles to settle and a house to keep, and it can become very overwhelming. But you know that. There's also, it can be a temptation to feel maybe bitter at life because it looks like dad can just leave for the day and get away from it, and you're there taking care of the children all the time, or at least the ones at home. And maybe dad comes home and he's got a problem that he's mulling around in his head, and he's maybe somewhat distant. And he can just tune out all the stuff. And that also can cause stress because you'd like to have off at 4 o'clock too, or 5 o'clock, or 7, or whatever. But I guess that's for us parents, us dads, to be mindful of things. Our wives would like for us to take care of our children, give them a little bit of a break sometimes too. But also, in all this, did you know that mothers can be lonely even with children around, especially if they've been at home all day long? You mothers, you're at home. Well, some of you are at home all the time. And you'd like to know, you want someone to talk to besides someone more some adult conversation. You wanted to hear about other topics of interest. So when we come home from work, or we come home and they ask, how was your day? How was this? How was that? What about this? You know, sometimes the temptation is, well, I'm busy right now. I'm trying to think this, or I'm doing this or that. But really, we owe it to our wives and our mothers to take time to visit, to talk, whether we feel like it or not. I don't know if you've ever faced that or not. In our home, we've faced that some. Another thing that can happen is that a change of pace is desired. You know, for us, that we have a regular job, or a maybe not regular, but we have a job, and so we have a schedule that goes 5 days a week, maybe. And then on Saturday, our schedule changes, but a mother's schedule doesn't really change unless a conscious effort is made to do that. If we don't put any thought into it, there's still meals to make. There's still, it can become just another day if we're not careful. But mothers like to have a change of pace too. Are we willing to take the time to help them with what they need to do, or give them the opportunity to have a little bit of a break? Even if it's not a break as in no work, but a change of work. I don't really like to do the same thing 7 days a week with no break all the time. It takes a conscious effort to create this diversion. You know, Saturdays can become just another day. Sundays can become just another day. You're just making food and cleaning house and waking up and going to sleep, and then the week cycles through again. And so we do well to be aware of and be willing to step in to support our wives and our mothers. You know, it often doesn't take a whole lot. It can be little things like clearing the table after a meal. Did you ever calculate how many steps it takes for one person to clear a table? For one person to clear the table, it takes a lot more effort than it does for everybody just to take their food, take their stuff over one time. Each household is different. I'm not telling you how you should do. I'm just giving some thoughts. But little things like clearing the table or washing dishes or even taking the children for a few hours. And giving our wife a break. Now, if your children are all 16 years old and older, or whatever, I mean, old enough to take care of themselves, that's a little different. But mothers have an important job, and it can be wearing sometimes at any age or stage of life. Also, making time to spend one-on-one with each other is another thing. Maybe just take a walk together. Or do something. Go out to eat. It doesn't even have to be huge, but sometimes just the little things in life are the things that mean the most. I was reading an article one time, and there was a thought given that it doesn't take a lot to make your wife remember, or to make your mother remember. If you gave a brand new car, if the choice was between a brand new car or a heartfelt card, this was to my wife, for example, just maybe picking up a rock and writing a personal note to her. In 20 years after I'm gone, maybe, which one do you think she would value the most? It's just a thought. Which one do you think she would value the most? It's the things that make them feel special are the things that they value the most. The things that make them feel worthwhile to their family, to their loved ones, are the things that they'll treasure the most. Today is Mother's Day. Today is a day when we set aside and consciously think about these things, and yet but all year is a good time to practice it. Like Dwight said in the opening, when we no longer have our mothers, that's when we often think of all the things we could have done. But today is the day when we can do what we wish we could, what those who don't have their mothers wish they could do. All right, so let's go to Titus chapter 2. The verse here that I would like to read, we'll just start in verse 1 here and read down through verse 5. But it says, "But speak thou," this is Paul talking to Titus, this telling Titus what to tell his church. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And the young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Do you know that's Paul talking to Titus, giving some direction for him to teach in his church there, and for us today. But the in verse 4, the older women are to teach the younger ones to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That word discreet there was interesting. It's used 4 times in the New Testament. And it has the thought of being sober. One of the times is in verse 2. And it's that word temperate there. That's the exact same word that discreet is. And it means to be moderate in opinion and passion. Another time is when Paul is giving instructions to the bishop to be sober and not given, to be sober and to be diligent. But to be moderate in opinion and passion. I'm just going to read that here and leave it. But now in Proverbs 31, verse 10, let's turn to that. And our mothers today, you have a very valuable place in the home, in our life, in society. And your influence is valued. Whether you realize it and feel it or not, it is very important and it's very valued. And I'm reading these verses here in Proverbs 31 not to tell you what you should be, but just to thank you for being like this. But it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? in verse 10. For her price is far above rubies. She's extremely valuable, more valuable than the most polished rare jewels, most polished rubies that you could get, most polished jewels. Especially the heart of her husband can safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I think every one of you in here would be like that. And God bless you tremendously. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Going down to verse 28. You can read the rest of it on your this afternoon if you want to. Her children, arise up and call her blessed, because she is far above her price is far above rubies. Her children, arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou, or you, excel them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, all of you mothers in here today, all of you are trustworthy. The heart of your husband can safely trust in you. I don't know if we realize how great a blessing that is. That is a huge blessing. And a mother that is that way, she looks to the ways of her house. She has a heart for her children. She's like Hannah. She prays for her children. She loves her children. And you have days, I'm sure, mothers, when life is just in a loop of sameness. It feels boring because it's always the same thing. But it's temporary. As the years go by, life will get into a different season, and you'll be able to see things a little differently. And the older ones, the older women can teach the younger ones and share encouragement as well. But older, the grandmothers that are here today probably also face loneliness, maybe in a little different type of loneliness than what a young mother faces. Maybe it's the loneliness because the house is empty and there's nobody running around anymore. But favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I'm just going to stop with that. But God bless you, mothers. Keep on being the rock that you are. Keep on being stable and being and doing your plays in keeping your children, keeping your households, loving your husbands. Just wish you God's blessing. Let's stand for prayer.